and I'm glad what the Lord has given me this morning. I hope it'd be a blessing to all of you.
Amen.
I want to go to a little known part of the Bible this morning, and it's I guess he's a minor prophet. If you go to the book of Haggai with me,
amen.
To find Haggai, you basically have to go to Isaiah and keep flipping a pretty good way.
Amen.
If you go to Matthew and start flipping backwards, it's probably the easiest way. You got Malachi, then Zechariah, then Haggai, if you're going backwards from Matthew.
Amen.
So go to the New Testament, go backwards about three books, and you'll be there. Haggai chapter 1, we're going to be reading from there. I kind of touched on this last week in Sunday school, and that's because the message was already on my heart. Amen. I was working out some of the stuff with it. But Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to talk about, I'll go ahead and give you the thought, and that is working on a building this morning. We're working on a building.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says in Haggai verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, that's very important, the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come that the time that the Lord's house should be built.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?
Mm-hmm.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have so much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Amen.
Very important to pay attention to this next verse, verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And
Amen.
I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it.
Amen.
Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house.
Amen.
Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands.
Amen.
Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God,
Amen.
And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. We'll stop our reading right there.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot to go over this morning, but we'll try to be brief. And amen, I want you to notice here, there was a time when the people had begun to think in their own minds and their own hearts that it's not time to work on the building for the Lord just yet. I'll get on into why that happened here in just a little bit. But let's go over this just a little bit so you can understand a little bit the situation. God had said, amen, he had blown on their houses and he had dried up the crops. He dried up the cattle. He dried up the people. And because they wouldn't heed to the word of the Lord, because they were selfish in their own sealed houses, God had stayed the blessings of heaven, the windows of heaven, from being opened up and poured out on their land, on their cattle, on their fields, in everything they possessed, even their wages. God said, you're putting it into a bag filled with holes. And as I read that verse 6 there, he began to point out some things. He said, you have much, yet you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe, but you're none warm. Have you ever had somebody prophesy or somebody say something to you that you wonder if they're reading your journal or if they're right there in your house and your house is bugged? Amen. Today their house was bugged because God was right there in the middle of it. Amen. And he saw everything that was going
Praise
on.
The Lord, brother. Praise
and
the
usually
Lord.
When somebody says that, you understand that they know something that you don't.
Amen.
Hey, God knew something they didn't. He said, you ever wondered why you Amen. Bring in a little bit and you don't have a lot to eat? You ever wonder why you drink until you're full, but you can never be satisfied? You ever wonder why all these things have come to pass? You bring on wages and it seems like there's a hole in your pocket. Hey, amen. It's because you're not doing something that God has asked you to do, something that he has purposed for you to do. Amen. And in this case, it was working on the building of the Lord's temple. Amen. So Haggai and another prophet we'll get to in a minute, Zechariah, they had a prophecy for the people here in this day. And it wasn't, Amen. You got to understand, some prophecy is not just somebody telling the future. Amen. Prophecy is proclaiming the word of the Lord. Yeah. Every time you see somebody in the Bible says they prophesied, doesn't necessarily mean they told the future.
Yeah.
Amen. It was a word from the Lord. Notice it said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. A word from the Lord is a prophetic statement, amen. I'm not a prophet, but I can say a prophetic statement because it's a proclamation that the Lord has declared, especially if it comes from his word. But you see here, God says, consider your ways. Amen. He says, take a little time. I like in Isaiah, he says, come now, everyone, and reason, let us reason together. He says, consider your ways, consider these things, and let me give you a solution to that. He says in verse 8, the solution is go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Another important statement, verse 13. Haggai, after they had determined they was going to do this, after they began to say that Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the people began to stir their heart to do the work of the Lord, it said they feared the Lord, and after that, God gave them another instruction. Amen. Sometimes in life, we don't have the whole plan laid out.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just got to hear a word from the Lord and begin to walk in that way that he says. And then he gives them another word here in verse 13. He says, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
God wanted to know that when they did the work, he was with him to do the work.
Amen.
Now I'm going to go back a little bit and kind of give you a little background on what's going on here.
Listen, Lord.
Ezra, in the very first chapter, I'm just going to try to skip through a lot of this and try to get the main points. But if you turn back to where Psalms and Job is and start going backwards, you'll find the book of Ezra.
Yeah.
Amen. It's before Esther, before Nehemiah, and it's in the book of Ezra there, right before Psalms and Job. Amen. But chapter 1, let's see what happened here. Amen. It's very interesting when I began to research this, exactly what went on. See, they was to start on the building and build the house of the Lord, but that's because at one point the work had ceased.
Yeah.
And it tells about it in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 1. This was right as they was coming out of a captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah had prophesied they'd be in captivity for 70 years, and when they began to come out, they was under a new ruler. His name was Cyrus.
Yeah.
And it says, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, remember the whole Medes and Persian thing in the book of Daniel where they found the writing on the wall, said, you're laid in the balance and found wanting.
Yeah.
Amen. That's because the Medes and the Persians came in that same night. Amen. And crashed the feast that Belteshazzar had. Amen. And because of that, they took over. And now it's under the ownership or the leadership of the king of Cyrus of Persia. So the Jews now are under a Persian king. But he says in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, now in the year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he had made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all this people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. In other words, Cyrus made a proclamation that the house of the Lord would be built. Amen. Amen. Back in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Amen. Would go back there in Jerusalem, and he begins to make a call for people. Who's willing to help come build? Who's willing to help come work on this building that we need to work on for God? And those of you that decide to stay home, then let him contribute with his silver and with his gold and with his free will offerings and with all these other things. Sometimes, amen, in the Bible, they went over, I believe it was, they went over Jordan maybe to conquer the land, and some people remained behind and sat by the stuff, it says the Bible. So not everybody's in the battle necessarily, but there are some things you can do to contribute. Just because you're not a preacher doesn't mean you can't contribute. Amen. Just because you're not a song leader doesn't mean you can't contribute. Amen. There's something you can do in the kingdom of God to work on that building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother.
Take my time here. Let's go to chapter 3 of Ezra. Flipping over there.
Bless you, Lord.
Chapter 3 says, and when the seventh month was come, the children of Israel were in the cities, and the people gathered themselves together as one man in Jerusalem. So they made their way to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jostedak. These two men they were talking about earlier in Haggai. Jeshua, the son of Jostedak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, same two men, and his brethren, and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, and as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon to the Lord, even the burnt offerings morning and evening. It keeps talking about them giving burnt offerings and things. In verse 7 it says, they gave money also to the masons, to the carpenters, and meat and drink, and all. Begins to talk about all these things they've done according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. The grant is he'd given money and resources to do this with. Now you got to remember, when Nebuchadnezzar had taken them out of Jerusalem, he also took the vessels of gold and silver, all the things that were in the temple and the tabernacle at that time, he took those with him. He stole those. And when Balthazar had his feast, he began to pour wine and the drunkard drinks in those vessels of gold and silver that belonged in the temple of God.
Amen.
Now Cyrus was giving those things back to the Jews so that they could rebuild their temple.
Right.
In verse 8 it says, now the second year that they're coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month begins Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity into Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. They begin to build the house here. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons and the sons of Judah together to set forth the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren the Levites. Now notice this. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets. And also the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they had praised the Lord, because the foundation of the Lord was laid. Just by laying the foundation, they began to rejoice. But many of the priests and Levites and chief fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, Solomon's temple. Those who were there living in the time that Solomon had built his temple, it said, when the foundation was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Why? Because the Lord's house was returning. Therefore, the Lord was returning. Therefore, they were back in their homeland, which they had been out of for 70 years. Verse 13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout for joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a shout, a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So we find that Cyrus had issued a decree. And the decree was to go build the house of God back at Jerusalem. to get an establishment for God to dwell among the people again. Amen. So that he could continue to fulfill the covenants he had to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. In the middle of this, we find that they begin to build the foundation of the house. So the foundation is now laid, and because of that, we get to see that the elders and those ancient men begin to rejoice and shout aloud for joy and weep because God is returning back to the homeland.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Sometimes we get to work on our building and we get excited about it. Amen. There's things in life that we do. There's things in life that God has called us to do. We begin to work on those things. But all of a sudden, there's a point where sometimes the work is halted. Remember I said earlier in Haggai, God had said that they had said it's not time to build the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Hey, God was there to tell them it is time.
Amen.
We're living in a day like that today, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But I want you to notice, as soon as the foundation was laid, the very next verse, chapter 4, verse 1, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Asrahadon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together we'll build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, king of Persia, hath commanded us.
Amen.
Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. You know, when you're trying to build for the Lord, Satan is right there. His adversary is right there.
Amen.
Trying to weaken your hands and
Amen.
Trying to trouble you in your building. But many times, we'll see in a little bit, God tells us to be strong and have good courage.
Amen.
The devil tries to weaken you, but you can be certain that when you're weak, God is strong.
Amen.
He encourages us. In verse 5, he said, and they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
Yeah.
Even until two different kings there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to skip through some of this, but let me just feed you in. We find out later on that a man by the name of Artaxerxes is another king. He had taken up rule here, and these men were wise, and they decided to try to find something against the Jews to stop them building. And they found out that these Jews are a rebellious people. These Jews, amen, they upset kingdoms, they upset kings, they're rebellious against authority. You shouldn't let them build this temple because then they'll think they can take over the whole country. What they didn't realize, or maybe had realized, and they wanted to put a stop to it, was that when they were rebellious against kings, God had told them to take over their land.
Amen.
But they said in the very last verse of chapter 4, he said, because they wrote a decree and Artaxerxes had put it into law, he said, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And we just read in Haggai, it was the second year of Darius. And I read in one commentary, I was trying to figure out how long it took between the time they ceased to build to the time they began to build again. And the one commentary said it was approximately about 15 years that all they had was a foundation, nothing more. So for 15 years, they had this decree. And another place it says, I think it says in that same chapter, that this decree is going to remain in effect until somebody else or until I change it.
Amen.
So for 15 years, they had been up in their sealed houses and they began to think, well, it's not time to build the Lord's house. That's what Haggai said. But God began to stir them up, and Haggai the prophet arrives on the scene in the next chapter. If you'll notice, chapter 5 and 6 of Ezra corresponds directly to Haggai 1 and 2. This is the same time period. So we find that Haggai here, it says in verse 1 of chapter 5, then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied to the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets helping them. So in Haggai, we find God tells them to go build again, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. God tells them where to go, what resources to get, and what work to do. Amen. I'm glad when God tells us the work to do, He'll tell us where to go. Amen. He'll give us the resources we'll need. Amen. And He'll tell us what to do. Amen.
Amen.
We just got to listen for His call. But sometimes the prophet of God, the man of God, has to come along and help. Yeah. And for the longest time, they begin to be comfortable in their sealed houses. They begin to be enjoying the lap of luxury, so to speak. But then God says it's time to get up and do the work again.
Amen.
And it says here, the same time came Tatnai, the governor. Here's another adversary. They began to do the work of the house, and another adversary comes on the scene. The governor on this side of the river, their companions, and said to them, "Who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? What authority do you do these things by?" Begin to ask them that, begin to trouble them. And verse 16, it said, then came the same Sheshbazzar. Now that's Zerubbabel, that's another name for him. The same guy, he said, he laid the foundation of God, which is at Jerusalem, and since that time, even till now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. He said, now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be a search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. The king Darius by now had taken up his throne in Persia. He was ruler over the Jews. The governor was questioning their authority, so they went straight to the ruler, Darius. And they said, go and search the archives and see whether it be so that Cyrus has commanded us to build this building.
Amen.
So long story short, they begin to do that, and they find, amen, that the building was definitely indeed commissioned by Cyrus. He told them, he was giving them the resources to do these things, just like we learned in chapter 1 of Ezra. And he begins to build this house, and begins to build these things. And so for 15 years, all we have is a foundation. And then all of a sudden, God says it's time to get back to work.
Amen.
Amen. And they begin to build the house of God again.
Amen, brother. Yes.
And in verse 13 of chapter 6, it says, then Tatnai the governor on this side of the river, Shethar-Bazai, and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. So Darius had told them, you better help in the work, or what we're going to do is we're going to tear down your house, we're going to use the lumber from your house to hang you on that. That's what he says in the very verse before that.
Amen.
In verse 11, he said, I've made a decree. Artaxerxes made a decree against the building, but Darius says, I've made a decree that whosoever shall offer this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. Mm-hmm. God's back on the scene. And you don't mess around when God is back on the scene. And it says here in verse 14, the elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet. I believe when they was building, the Bible says that the prophets helped them. I believe they was there cheering them on. I believe they was there encouraging them in the Lord, because they was helped by the prophesying of Haggai and of Zechariah. And they built it and finished it. It had been laid dormant for 15 years. Just the foundation was there. It was not finished up until this time.
Amen.
They had them to find the archives and see that Cyrus had commanded the building to be finished. And they began to work on the building. And then it said, and the building, they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. They had all these authorities backing them.
Amen.
But let me tell you, all you need is God.
Amen.
Amen. All you need is God.
Have that first, brother.
He said, this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius. Now do the math. It was the second year they started rebuilding the temple. It was the foundation was laid, and in the second year they started the building, and it was the sixth year when it was finished. It took them 4 years to finish the building. Plus the first 15, so about 20 years to finally get this done. Amen. There comes a time in our lives when sometimes we lay dormant, sometimes it seems like things are dormant. But God begins to reinvigorate, begins to restir the work, begins to say, now's the time to stand up and get back to work and work on the building. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
They offered dedication. And even later on down, the very last verse of that chapter, it says that the king of Assyria strengthened their hands in the work of the house of God. One of their most mortal enemies, Assyria, God made them to help in building his house.
Amen. Amen. Good preaching.
I want you to notice back in Habakkuk. He always used three different terminologies, I guess, three different people. He said in verse 12, he said, Zerubbabel. Then he says, Joshua. This is not the same Joshua as Moses, by the way. It's a different one. And then he always says, with the remnant of the people. So he had the leader. He had the man of God. Then he had the congregation. There's a place for everybody in God's church to work. Amen. The pastor has a work. The song leader has a work. The layman has a work. All the people helped in the building of the project. When we work together as a family of God, we begin to work on the building that God established in the church age. He said that several times. Zerubbabel, the spirit of Joshua, and all the people. He says it in verse 12 of chapter 1 Haggai, verse 14. Later on, he says it again in verse 4. And if you'll read that, you'll find that they begin, there's all kinds of different scriptures that I don't want to go into right now. It'll take too much time. But every time God told them to build a building or work on something, he always ended that with, I will be with you.
Amen.
I will be with you. And I'll give you just one example of that. Go to Joshua chapter 1. This is one of my favorite parts in the Bible.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 1, let's just start in verse 6. When they was going to go over to the land, Moses, their leader, had died. Everybody was discouraged. And Joshua here has to take up the mantle and keep up the work. He begins to encourage them. And he says in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Once again, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous.
Amen.
That thou mayest to do according, observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand to the left that thou mayest prosper.
Amen.
Whithersoever thou goest. One of my favorite verses, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do it according to all that is written there, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. For then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? He tells them this the third time. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Notice this, for the Lord thy God is with thee.
Amen.
Whithersoever thou goest. I'm glad when God commissions us or tells us to do something, he's not going to leave us alone. He'll go with us. When Moses was going to go out into the wilderness and he was going to try to deliver the people, amen. God had had enough with Israel, and he said, I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to send my angel. Amen. And Moses said, well, if you don't go with us, then I'm not going either.
Yeah.
Amen. He wanted God to go with him, amen, and not leave him, not forsake him. And thank God when Jesus was born, one of his names was Emmanuel, God with us. Just because he left doesn't mean he's not with us. When he left, he said he'd send another comforter. And thank God I feel him this morning. Amen. The Holy Ghost is in this house this morning. And I hope you feel him this morning because his presence will go with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Praise the Lord.
I'm about ready to close. Amen. I want you to notice something. There's another type of building. Amen. This is a temple we're talking about. But there's another type of building we're working on today. Amen. If you'll notice, I've got just about four more verses to go and I'll be done. I'm going to have to flip over here. I ain't got a bookmark. But in Matthew, it says in chapter 16, verse 18. Let me find it real quick and I'll read it to you. Very familiar scripture.
Listen, Jesus. Come on, brother.
Jesus began to ask the disciples, who do men say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
Some say you're John the Baptist, resurrected. Some say you're Elijah, the prophet. He began to ask the disciples, well, who do you say that I am? You know, it don't matter what everybody else says. It's up to you. What do you think God is? What do you think Christ is?
That's right.
How is he in your relationship?
Praise the Lord.
And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He's addressing him because he just asked him, who do you say I am?
Amen.
You're the Son of God. Then Christ begins to say, here's who I am, here's who you are. You're Peter. Jesus is a rock. Peter, which means Cephas, is a stone. He says, upon this rock, who's the rock in the Bible? Christ is the rock. He wasn't calling Peter to be the new church representative. He was saying, I'll build the church on myself. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, I will build, not the temple. Notice he said, in 3 days this temple will fall down, and I'll build it back up.
Come on, that's right.
He said, I will build my church.
Yeah.
We're working on a building today. That building is the foundation that was laid. Foundation of which is the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's right, Brother Robert. He's the foundation. Thank God no man can lay on another foundation than that which is already laid. The foundation was right there that they needed in the Old Testament. They just had to begin to build from the end. Thank God Jesus and the apostles and the prophets, they laid a foundation. Even those that were in my generation who were older than me have long gone on. People like Oliver England and Olmos England and all these other preachers that have gone on, they've helped lay the foundation. They've helped build upon that foundation. Jesus said the church is the building. Today we're building on the church. We're working on the church, working on the building. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Give you another example here. It says, according to the grace of God which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, Paul talking here, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man taketh heed how he buildeth upon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
And here's my favorite verses concerning this. Ephesians 2, 20 and 21. Now, let's see, Ephesians 2, 20, 21. Let's go to verse 19. Now you are therefore no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are built together for an habitation of God, through the Spirit. You see, the temple is not where God inhabits anymore.
Amen.
The church itself has become the temple. That's where God dwells, in the church, in the body of Christ. Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, the foundation's laid. We're building on the church.
Amen.
And in 1 Peter 2:5, and that'll be all my scripture as far as I know for this message. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Talks about the cornerstone
right
after that. Now remember, in closing, the work had ceased for 15 years. They built the foundation. And they began to get easy. Lay back in their lazy boys in their easy chairs. And God sent a prophet and said to them, it's time to go back to work on the building.
Amen.
I see a parallel and a correlation in the day we're living today. We was working on the building. We was working on the church, attending church services normally and regularly, having revivals, having tent meetings, having all this other stuff. And then the adversary ceased the work.
Amen.
And that was named coronavirus. The work has gone downhill ever since. People have laid in their sealed houses, and they've watched services on Facebook, watched them online, never darkened the doors of the church again.
Yeah.
Not saying that's wrong, that was needful and necessary.
Right.
But as we're coming out of that, it's necessary, and I believe God is telling each and every one of us, it's time to resume building on the building, resume the work of the building.
I believe.
Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. Be strong, be of good courage, do the work. Amen. There's a work that still needs to be done, and it's time to start back working on the building. Amen. Of church. Amen. The church of God. Amen. That which we are part of today, the church of the living God and of Christ. We are the building that we're to work on. Now, each and every one of us, God gives us callings and gifts and things like that to work with. But no matter what you're building on, if it's of God, he says, I'll be with you.
Amen.
I'll go with you. Jesus said in the New Testament, I will never leave never forsake you. I'll go with you.
Amen.
Even all the way to the ends of the world. Jesus is with us.
Amen.
As we do our work in the church, as we have our outings, as we have our revivals, as we have vacation Bible school,
Amen.
You have to have the confidence in God
Amen.
To know that whatever you set forth to do, whatever you set forth your hand to do,
Amen.
Praise the Lord,
Amen.
This morning, if it's of God,
Amen,
Amen He'll be with you, Amen.
Amen.
And there'll be fruit in the Word.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
I hope that's been encouraging
Praise
to you today.
Amen.
It's an encouraging word to my soul to know that I'm not alone
Amen.
When I'm out there working on the building.
Amen.
Out there working for the Lord, doing His work in my ministry, Amen. In my business, in my family, whatever it is, I can have the confidence to know that God is right there with me.
Amen.
Thank God for that this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Donald to come get a song.
Amen. Good preaching, brother.
Everybody would stand. Maybe you haven't been trusting God as the carpenter. I like that. You know, Jesus was a carpenter.
Amen.
He knew how to build things.
Amen.
He built a bridge on Calvary.
Yeah.
That spanned the gulf between
Praise
earth and heaven.
Lord,
Amen.
God.
He knew how to build. He's a wise master
Praise
builder. Paul said he became a wise master builder. Why? Because he had the wise master builder.
Praise
the carpenter,
Lord.
The one that builds it all. Maybe you need some help from the master builder today as he sings
Amen.
This morning. Search your heart.
Amen. 155.
If you need help from the Lord,
Living
this offer's here for you to come to the Lord and bow down and ask help of Him.
Amen.
Listen Amen. Carefully to the words of this song.
Thank you, Jesus. Try Amen. Thank you, Lord. To face my days. Thank you, Lord. Where could I go?
Where could you go?
Place.
Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting eternal life.
Amen.
There's no other builder. Every time you try to attempt it on your own, the building falls apart and decays. You need the wise master builder to know what you're doing.